everyone, this is Bhaskar and you're listening to Today in History. So the day today is 1st June, and on this day, in 1916, Bal Gangadhar Tilak wrote his famous quote, "Swaraj is my birthright and I shall have it," in Ahmedabad. Today I'm going to talk to you about Tilak, his idea of Swaraj, and their contribution to the Indian freedom struggle. Bal Gangadhar Tilak was one of the most prominent national leaders in the early years of the national struggle. He was also the loudest voice for the cause of Swaraj. Tilak first came to the political scene with his weeklies, Kesari and Maharatta. He used this to condemn the ruthless policies of the British government through his simple, direct and readable comments. He also used the Ganapati festival to propagate the ideas of nationalism through patriotic speeches and songs. In 1896, he started conducting the Shivaji festival to instill in the hearts of young Maharashtrians the feeling of nationalism. Tilak was also a very learned man. But of course, that goes without saying, because most prominent leaders of the time had highly educated backgrounds. He was also the predecessor to Gandhi and other political leaders who used the means of boycotting foreign goods as protest. At the start of his career, he regularly criticized the Congress Party for excluding the peasant class through his weeklies. Later, however, he joined the Indian National Congress and soon became the leader of the radical nationalist wing of the Congress. He was unfortunately the leader of that faction even during the split of the Congress in the famous Surat session of the Congress on 26th of December 1907. The Congress split is yet another interesting episode in India's modern history. It was an event that set back the Indian freedom struggle for a couple of years. In 1907, the extremists or the radicals of the Congress under Tilak and the moderates under G.K. Gokhale failed to realize how both the wings supplemented each other in the struggle. A thing to note here is that both Gokhale and Tilak were visionary leaders, and both realized that what a catastrophe it was, but their hands were tied by the obligation they had to their ideals that were continuously being reinforced by their supporters. We would dive deep into the split in a later episode, but in a brief, the Congress split was a victory for British, who had realized the power of the Indian National Congress with both the wings working together. Before 1905, when Lord Curzon tried to partition Bengal, the Congress was a very different party. But after 1905, a stir of nationalism had filled the hearts of nationalists all over the country, and that resulted in the Swadeshi and boycott movements. You might have heard of it. In this time, there was a wave of something big that was forthcoming, and this wave had hit the British hard. The government of India, headed by Lord Minto as Viceroy, with John Morley as a Secretary of State by his side, acknowledged this wave and got down to drafting the perfect plan to subdue the nation and regain proper control in one blow. They used the policy of divide and rule, not in the way of dividing on the basis of religion, but on political basis. They offered the moderates a chance to talk to the government and form fresh reforms in the Legislative Council. This created a divide between the radicals, who knew that this was a sham, and the moderates, who really wanted to believe that the British really wanted true reforms. This drift later turned wide enough to cause a split. After the split, the British government repressively put most of the radicals in jail, including Tilak. Tilak was arrested on 24 June 1908 and was sentenced to imprisonment for 6 years under the Indian Penal Code, Section 124A. We will talk more about Tilak and his success in the Home Rule League after this quick break of 15 seconds. That you can skip if you're not very bored and are eager to learn more. A quick fun fact about the Indian Penal Code before the break. The IPC was drafted by the first Law Commission of India under the chairmanship of Lord Thomas Babington in 1834. It was enforced since 1860 and is still in use, though today it is supplemented with other documents and it has been amended a few times. It is considered an incredibly beautiful piece of legislation by the students of politics and law. Music. So before we move forward, let's take a small moment to recap. Today we have talked about Tilak, his weekly Kesari and Maratha, split of the Congress in 1907, and then Tilak being sent to jail. Tilak was released on the 16th June 1914 after serving a prison for 6 years in Mandalay in Burma. After being released from prison, Tilak's first aim was to re-enter the Congress that was now being controlled by the moderates. The moderates of Bombay, led by Firoz Shah Mehta, were skeptical about this and opposed Tilak's readmission. Most moderates by now had, however, realized the mistakes of 1907 and were unhappy with their decision. This, coupled with the pressure by Annie Besant, led the Congress to open its doors to Tilak and his radical followers in the December of the following year, that is, in 1915. Annie Besant, who was a British socialist, was an adherent of both Irish and the Indian self-rule, or in Hindi Swaraj. Self-rule status was given to few British colonies. Tilak and Annie Besant wanted the same for India. Tilak, who was very much inspired by the Irish Home Rule League and their movement, was very eager to launch a similar movement in India. So much so that he started his work even before entering the Congress Party. To clearly state, he was not against the Crown, but just wanted self-government, and to explain to Congress his true intentions, this is what he had to say, and I quote, "I may state once and for all that we are trying in India what the Home Rulers have been doing in Ireland for a reform of the system of administration and not for the overthrow of the government. I have no hesitation in saying that the acts of violence which have been committed in various parts of India are not only repugnant to me, but have in my opinion only retarded to a great extent the pace of our political progress." With all this said and done, Tilak had started the Home Rule movement at the Bombay Provincial Conference held at Belgaum in April 1916. Annie Besant had started her own movement the following September. On the 23rd of July 1916, the government demanded 60,000 rupees from Tilak as security for good behavior, just as the movement was beginning to gain steam. Coincidentally enough, it was also Tilak's birthday that day. So he considered this act of oppression as an opportunity. You know, repression sometimes can pacify or sometimes even intensify revolts depending on the circumstances. Tilak went to court with the issue. Even though he lost the case in the magistrate court, he won the case in the high court. This fueled the fire even more, and Tilak was now aiming for the stars. The Home Rule movement at its beginning was not acknowledged by the Congress. Still, many prominent leaders weighed in on the cause, like G.K. Gokhale. In Lucknow session of the Congress held on December 1916, however, the Home Rule leaguers demonstrated their strength. It was the auspicious day for Tilak and his radical followers, for on that day, the moderate president of Congress had wholeheartedly welcomed the separated brethren. That one session was very crucial for the advancement of the freedom struggle. The famous Lucknow Pact was signed between Congress and the Muslim League. Tilak's support for the pact played a vital role. Tilak was known to be an orthodox Hindu and the greatest scholar of ancient religious texts. No opposition could have stood against that. One very important change that was necessary in the Congress was suggested by Tilak, although that was not accepted in the Lucknow session. Seeing how the Congress could not maintain a sustained movement, Tilak proposed to set up a cohesive working committee within the Congress. A thing to note is that this was later done by Mahatma Gandhi. As I earlier said, repression fuels fire of revolt. Another repressive policy of the government became the axe that they threw at their own feet. On seeing the massive popularity of the Home Rule movement, the government at Madras struck back. At first, it banned the students from attending the public meetings held by the leaguers. Tilak and other prominent leaders commented against it. But the major turning point was when Annie Besant, along with her associates, were arrested on June 1917. The entire nation struck back. So here is the list of things that happened. First, Sir S. Subramaniam Iyer just became Subramaniam Iyer. What I'm saying is, in a very symbolic gesture, he renounced his knighthood. Secondly, the moderates who had not participated in the activities of the Home Rule movement now enlisted themselves as members of the Home Rule League to show their solidarity for Annie Besant. Those leaders included Muhammad Ali Jinnah and Surendranath Banerjee, apart from others. On 28 July, Tilak, at the All India Congress Committee, advocated the use of passive resistance and civil disobedience. Gandhiji, who you know is famous for marching, collected signatures of 1,000 men willing to march to her center of detention. Signatures of millions of peasants were collected on petitions for home rule. So after all this, the British government finally accepted to release her and made a historic declaration known as the Montagu Declaration. Now I'm sure you want to know what it is. Well, I think it's best to quote. The Secretary of State, Montagu Chelmsford, started by saying this in the British Parliament. "The policy of Her Majesty's government," and then he goes on to say, "is that of increasing association of Indians in every branch of the administration and the gradual deployment of self-governing institutions with the view of the progressive realization of responsible government in India as an integral part of the British Empire." Now, there are a few lines to note here. This is in direct contrast to what Morley had to say in 1909 with the legislative reforms that split the Congress. And it also did not mean that the British were going to give the Indians self-government. It only meant the fact that anyone asking for self-government under Her Majesty would not be prosecuted for sedition. The Home Rule movement of Tilak and Annie Besant had two very connected objectives. The first was obviously to attain Swaraj, and the second was to politically educate the people of India, because what was the point of self-governance if people are not politically educated? You can decide on yourself if these objectives are fulfilled. In my view, and this is not an original view, full disclosure, in my view, I believe that the movement had considerable short-term successes, and that was a huge bar to clear. But that wasn't even its biggest success. Its biggest success was the political education that Tilak and Annie Besant were able to impart on the nation as a whole. If it wasn't for their efforts, Gandhiji would have had a very different playing field. Tilak was also able to garner this support and build this legacy through his intellect, passion, and his great oratory skills. In that one speech that Tilak made on the 1st of June 1916 in Ahmedabad, he gave the nation a slogan, one that has lived on post his death and that has helped inspire a new generation of nationalists. Like the word Satyagraha is inherently linked with Gandhi, Swaraj is inherently linked with Tilak. So here's the line again. "Swaraj is my birthright and I shall have it." Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you liked it, then every day you can hope and wait for an all new episode where I take you through the pages of history. But if you loved it, don't forget to tell your friends where you learned these interesting facts, anecdotes, or stories from.